This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation. This week in the NFL, final week in the NFL. Super Bowl week, baby. I'm your host, the Cowboy. You know that by now. I'm joined by John D'Amato, the one and only. What's up, John?
We're still here,
even though we've been slighted. We've been put down. You know, we get motivation from that, John. Like, we're not showing up every week.
And we're still here. Last I checked, the Patriots are favored in this game. But I think the guarantee just came through. The ultimate New York's own Mike Francesa picked the Rams plus three.
Get the bottles ready. We're going to... So, as everyone, hope everyone's doing well. You know, we had our recap last week. So, nothing's happened in between except your standard Super Bowl fair, but this is your Super Bowl preview. You can tell I'm excited. Patriots back again. Feels special this time. Feels good this time. I like it. Coming off the loss to the Eagles, I'm feeling, just riding high, enjoying the wave. Got a good Rams team coming in, and we're going to break the game down for you. Initial thoughts, John. Just kind of spitballing, throwing it out there.
Initial thought, it was kind of a tepid press week.
Agreed.
The only barely controversy was a stupid Penny Roby Coleman or whatever, Nickel Roby Coleman. I mean, yeah, that was mild. And then he backtracked right away on his...
Damage was done at that point, though, I think.
At this stage of the game, I don't buy into that. That's going to motivate Brady extra. I mean, come on, the guy. How great is the guy? The guy has the utmost motivation for every game. So all that bulletin board stuff isn't really going to add extra to it. I don't think.
Most of the time, I agree with you, but I think like for him this year specifically. I mean, he's kind of taken that Michael Jordan persona. Like, Michael Jordan was absolutely – he looked for slights, right? I mean, you saw it in his Hall of Fame speech. He looked for slights and remembered every little slight so that he would go out there and be at his competitive best. And Brady, you know, at least outwardly, he's never really been like that. But it seems like what was being said about them during the season seems to really, really got under his skin. To the point that they're talking about it on the field, where the, you know they're, you know it is laughable even as a Pats fan that the Patriots have painted themselves as like this nobody believes in us team, but I don't know if it makes a difference in the game, but really stupid thing for Nickel Roby Coleman to do, especially because he's kind of like their worst cornerback. Like he's probably going to be on Edelman, right? Because he's their nickel guy, and I mean. He's probably going to get torched. I mean, even without saying anything. But I think Brady might go out of his way a little bit now to torch him, which I think actually works in the Patriots' favor.
Yeah, but for the Brady and the Patriots to come for that, I mean, they were underdogs. They've been underdogs once in 5 years. And that was only because Kansas City had the home field advantage. And they're back in the usual favored spot in the Super Bowl. So the... For them to, you know, carry that underdog, that's really reaching for it. And Roby Coleman, I mean, especially for the controversial play. And actually, looking back on it, watching they showed the replay of the controversial Coleman 97 times. And you and Troy Aikman are about the only ones that hit it. If Coleman just looks for the ball, that's an interception. And that's a horrible – and then Breeze is really a goat. If Coleman plays that right, because Coleman picks it.
I mean, if he doesn't hit him, if he just stands still, the ball would hit him right in the middle of the back.
Yeah, but that's what makes the very few cornerbacks, because you see that's an epidemic with most secondary guys, that they have problems just looking for the ball. The way these offenses are so fast, and that's something that you and Troy Aikman the only guys to point out while everybody else is focused on the call.
Normally not my favorite analyst, but I'm not his either. So he gets one right every once in a while. But speaking of that, what do you think of Roger Goodell? Was it yesterday, today? Oh, we're taping on a Friday about 7:30 Eastern time at night. Yesterday came out, Roger Goodell came out and finally addressed the situation, pretty much just said nothing, right? Hey, everybody makes mistakes. We're all human. Yada, yada. Same day. Clearly, Sean Payton was waiting for Goodell to make a public statement because Payton came out. And Payton wore the Goodell clown nose shirt, but only, just very strategically, only showed you the top of it. But with, I saw they CGI'd the graphic of the shirt over it. He was definitely wearing the shirt. Do you think that's like a little bit of like a pussy acidness? If you're gonna wear the shirt, wear the fucking shirt. That's kind of my take. Like I feel like kind of the Saints and Peyton specifically have done a whole lot of blaming and not taking a good look in the mirror as to why they lost that game. And you know, no fan of Roger Goodell here, but at least our boy Matt Patricia had the balls to wear it and not just put out the cowlick.
Yeah, the commissioner's in a no-win situation. Any time he speaks in public is a no-win situation. He's going to be public enemy number one. He's going to be hated by 31 teams, if not all 32 teams. But at this point, the guy don't care. He's taking his big money to the bank. And as far as the Saints, yeah, they carried on a little extra sauce. I mean, it sucks to say that it was an unfortunate call and all that, but there were calls. There was a face mask on Goff, and there was certain things that calls that went in their favor too. So they really carried it a little extra with the, and especially fans with the lawsuits and et cetera. It was a little bit much.
Don't blow a 13-0 lead at home. That's my advice if you don't want to if you don't want one blown call to cost you the game.
Yeah, and they were in the same position as your boys. They won the toss, and yep. All they had to do was put it in the end zone. It didn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I really love Drew Brees. Great quarterback, great by all accounts, a great person, but not the most clutch guy in the world. Has not had the greatest playoff career. The one Super Bowl, but to me, I know the Rams defense played good, but you got to, at the very least, you got to get three, right? You can't throw a pick. I mean, I know he got hit, but you can't throw a pick there. You just can't throw a pick there if you're Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't want to bash Brees. He's great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer and all that. But if you want to go back into the history, their defense bailed him out in the last championship game, the Minnesota one, and it was a couple of Favre picks that. If it wasn't for a couple of far picks, they might have got past Minnesota for their one Super Bowl win.
Yep.
Because Brees had a rough game during that game. Their defense actually helped him out. But I hate crapping on greatness for their few faults. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, surefire, first ballot Hall of Famer. And but that's, you know, not everybody's got the. You know, the huge clutch gene. It just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, that's what separates the men from the boys. The guys that win multiple ones for the one and done. So.
Hey, look, Dan Marino, great quarterback. Maybe the best arm I've ever seen. It is what it is, right? Take nothing away from the guy, but if your team wins the toss and you need a touchdown to win the game, I don't think we're going to pick Dan Marino or Drew Brees to be the quarterback.
Or Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers. But on to this week's game, Super Bowl. Really, really interesting storyline, I think. Very, very, very interesting. So you have the young, very young Sean McVay, the new genius, who apparently has been communicating with the evil genius, Bill Belichick, all year. They met early in the season, right, or over the off season, and Belichick texts him. So that's a really cool little subplot here. It could very well be like a passing of the torch type moment if the Rams can get it done. So I guess we'll kind of look at both teams' strengths and weaknesses. So why don't we start with when the Rams have the ball, what do you think their offense needs to do? And then we can talk about that, and then maybe what the Patriots defense needs to do to combat that.
The Rams offense, they just got to get a nice mix of they're pretty they've been more successful when they get a nice mix of on the ground and through the air, not over reliant on one or the other. So they need to just mix it up with Gurley and more Gurley, and for them to rely on C.J. Anderson and for him to get more carries than Gurley, and that'll be a miracle if they win another game like that. So they just need to get a good mix. Obviously, don't turn the ball over. Goff has been good with that lately, and just get touchdowns and not field goals.
Yep. So I think Gurley's a huge part of the game, right? I mean, whatever funk he was in, he needs to break out of it. Because really, if you've watched the Patriots a lot this year, and the Chiefs did this, the linebackers can't cover running backs out of the backfield. It's the easiest way to attack the defense. The secondary's good pass rush, good front four, but the linebackers have a lot of trouble with running backs out of the backfield. And Gurley, when he's right, is one of, if not the best, receiving backs in the NFL with that, you know, elite combination of power and speed. So I would expect that'll be a heavy part of the game plan from the beginning. I don't think they'll, you know, like the Chiefs did, wait until halftime to break him out of the shed. But so that's big for them. And then Goff needs to. I mean, Goff played a very good game against the Saints after a shaky start. I don't think they can really afford the shaky start in this one, so I think he needs to be good from the outset. And he's capable of turnovers, of boneheaded turnovers, and kind of when things start going wrong, snowballing. We saw that a couple of times this year. He needs to, you know, be aggressive but not force the ball downfield and create turnovers and not make stupid plays if the Pats put pressure on him, which almost certainly they're going to do because it's been so successful in the other postseason games. Rams have been a big play offense. I think they need to get at least one or two big plays. Doesn't matter who it is. I mean, your most likely guy, right? Cooks is the most likely guy, but any one of those guys, Reynolds or Robert Woods, they're Gerald Everett, they're all capable of getting down the field. I think the Rams do need those chunk plays. I think the Patriots are going to try to keep them, you know, make Goff go the whole length of the field without screwing up kind of deal. But so throw to Gurley, make big plays, don't turn the ball over. That's their recipe for victory, I think.
It'll be Gurley insists that he's not hurt, but just the way that championship game went out, I don't know if that play where his drop or tip led to the interception. I don't know if that got in his head or it was something physical that. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him, how he gets. I look for them to go at him hard early in the game and get him out of what little funk he's in and. And try to establish him as a serious weapon.
Yeah, I mean, I think a bit of it was mental in that game. He really, I mean, he dropped a pass right before the interception, too. Yep. And he just did not seem like himself. And they've never really had a second option there, like Anderson. And so, you know, and Anderson's been hot, so it was easy for McVay to turn to Anderson. We'll see if that was, I mean, it won them that game, so you can't say it's not the right move. But, you know, these guys' egos can be a little fragile sometimes, especially, Gurley's never played in a game like this with these kind of stakes. And that little bit of doubt creeping in, of all the guys, like, essentially could have been the NFL MVP 2 years in a row. If he's looking over his shoulder a little bit, it's not a real comfortable place to be, so.
Yeah, they got away with it for one game because with Anderson, it limits them because Gurley's so much more of a dynamic receiver out of the backfield. And with Anderson, they kind of went to more of a smash mouth and using the tight ends more offense, which isn't really hasn't really been their MO all year. But they got by with it for one game. But I don't think they could get by with that again. So I look for Gurley to be established early.
Yep, and I think they're going to – all right, so now – very good, very good. So good analysis, John. Let's move on now. How do the Pats beat it down. How do the Pats counteract that? I can start here. So you know that the Patriots are known for taking that the Belichick thing. They're going to take what you want to do away. They're taking one thing away. And last week they effectively, other than one play, took away Tyreek Hill, right? I mean, they got killed a little bit in the second half by Williams. Mahomes went to other guys. Watkins had a big game, but they said Hill's not going to beat us, and Hill didn't beat them. If I'm Belichick, what I want to do is make the Rams one-dimensional, right? I want to put the game on Goff's shoulders. When the Rams are really, really deadly is if they can come out and do like what they did to the Cowboys and just run the ball right down the Patriots' throats. I think that's a worst case scenario for the Patriots. So my guess is that they're gonna and not necessarily stack the box, but they're gonna do a lot of run blitzing and effectively. I agree, John, that the Rams are gonna want to get Gurley going early, and I think the Patriots know that too. And I think that they're gonna really make a concerted effort to not give up, not let them run the ball at will. Right, make them pass, even if they are the swing passes that hurt them, but make them pass. So that's the first thing. And the other thing, I alluded to it, was no big plays. The Patriots secondary is good and they don't give up a ton of giant plays, but I think they're going to use a similar strategy to teams use against them. Keep everything in front of you, beat up the receivers, beat up the running back when he's catching the ball, and make Goff go on long, long drives, 8, 9, 10 minute drives. Give him rope to hang himself. Give him rope to make that one or two mistakes that's going to cost them the game. I think that's the blueprint.
Yeah, and just try to get pressure with Van Noy and Flowers. Like they've been doing consistently. They've been getting consistent pressure, but that's going to be the key. If they go all out to stop the run, if the Rams hit a big play early to Cooks or Woods or one of their big receivers, then that'll open it up. But as you said, typical Belichick is going to look to take away their best weapons.
Right, and their offense is so good that they're very similar to the Chiefs, right? That you're not going to stop them. You're not going to stop them the whole game. So
field goals, not touchdowns.
If you can, yep. You know, at least a couple of field goals, and mission accomplished.
And also, like maybe not. You know, you got to win the war. So, like in KC, what really helped them was they shut them out that first half, and then eventually the dam broke in the second half. But that really carried them. That big defensive first half. So if you get like one good quarter where you just hold them to a three, that's going to – because you know your offense is gonna put up to us a lot of sevens.
One would hope so. But, yeah, so I think it's a sound blueprint, and I think it really could go either way. It's what makes the game so interesting is that if you look like player for player, the Rams have a better team. Right, I mean they do. They have more talent than the Pats, and I think a lot of it has to do with Goff's on a rookie deal, so they should have more talent than the Pats outside of the quarterback position. But the Patriots have really the Chiefs had more talent than the Pats too, and the Chargers probably did too. The Patriots are so well coached, and so like giving Belichick the 2 weeks to prepare for one team is a huge advantage, but. McVay, the same thing, right? McVay is a very good coach, and it's just so intriguing. Just makes the game so intriguing, and I think, especially on this side of the ball, Rams offense against Patriots defense. And we can look at the other side, John. What do you think the Pats offense is going to be looking to do?
They're not going to be able to pound it like they have against the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Rams' defense is a little more physical, a lot bigger than what they like the Chiefs like that first game versus the Chargers. The Chargers were speedy but small, and they just pounded them. pretty much just went right at him. They're not going to be able to do that with Sue and Donald, et cetera. So they're going to have to mix in more pass. A lot of James White. James White, double figures receptions. You could bet on that one. A lot, and also a lot of like traps and draws with Rex Burkhead. Because maybe not so much Sony Michel, because he kind of gives it up on the ground. They're a little one dimensional with Michel. He's not as much of a receiver. So, but and if the offensive line can go through another game without getting a sack, that would be quite an accomplishment versus this front four of with Sue and Donald, and especially Dante Fowler, who's got experience. He played with the Jaguars in the championship game against them last year, and also early in the year when the Jaguars actually beat them. That was like, you know, one of the last games they actually won, and then he saw how the Jaguars got all cocky and fell apart after that. And while this team is just the opposite, they're not getting cocky. They got their eyes on the prize.
All right. Yeah, and I mean, I agree to a point, and we'll talk about the Rams. We'll talk about the Rams defense and what challenges they present. I actually think the Patriots may zag a little bit here. I think everybody really expects it to be white. I think it's going to be a big, and I think he'll have a good game, but I think it's going to be a big Edelman game. I think if you just look at the personnel, the Rams have Tlaib and Peters on the outside.
Yeah, Tlaib's going to be, looks like Tlaib's going to be on Gronk. And,
right.
And Peters will be on Hogan. And
or
like
Dorsett,
I said, Edelman will be on, have a Roby Coleman. So
right.
They'll look to exploit that.
If they do that, if the Rams do that, if they put Tlaib on Gronk, I think you'll see Gronk run blocking almost the whole game. I think he'll be in protecting Brady or run blocking. And there's no need to go after that matchup. That's not with the way Gronk's playing. Not, I mean, he had a good game against Kansas City. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, great. That's what's been working for him. I mean, let's be honest. Gronk he didn't really block anybody all year, but he's saving his bullets for now. And he was in there on just about every play versus the Chiefs. And his blocking was a key too, along with his receptions, obviously.
Yep. And you know, if he can kind of take Tlaib's their best corner. Obviously, if he can take him off the sort of take him out of the play by blocking, I think that's what they'll do. I think it's a big Edelman game. I kind of disagree on I think Michelle is going to be a big part of the game plan. I think they can run on anybody right now, and the Rams did have a good game stopping the run last week, and they did slow Elliott down the week before, but during the season you could really, really run on them. And I know Sue has turned it up a little bit, but I think the thing you really don't want if you're the Patriots is for Brady to be under all sorts of heat. And I think the way that you don't allow that to happen is commitment to the run and the short passing game with
draws and traps. Yeah.
Yep. And I think you might see, I'll make a little call here, but, you know, Marcus Peters is notorious for staring in the backfield and getting beat deep. And
yeah, Hogan's good for an 80-yard.
Or Dorsett. I was going to say Dorsett. I think Dorsett's going to get loose for a long touchdown on a double move where Peters is, where Tom kind of takes Peters to elementary school.
Nah, all right. That's our prop bet. I'm going with Hogan. I'm going with big game Hogan.
Yeah, just as possible. He's just not quite as fast. That's my thing. But yeah, so that's kind of the way I see it. If they don't come out that way, I can't imagine they're going to play zone, right? I mean, after what the Patriots did to the Chargers playing zone and what they historically do to playing
zone.
Nah,
definitely not. No, they do, man.
It makes it a weird. The Patriots have a weird offense to play man against. That's the thing, because your shutdown corner, he's almost useless. Because who do you put him on?
Which is Peters, and yeah.
Right, and so if I guess it's possible they could put Peters on Gronk, and that's kind of a plus matchup for Gronk due to the size, right? Then
yeah.
you're going to send
or,
him out.
Or Edelman, or if Edelman starts tearing him up. But Wade Phillips has a lot of experience going against New England, so it's a good chess match there.
He does. But so I think we see it a little similarly. But I do think the Patriots can score some points in this game.
Oh yeah, all the projections you see have been you know, like 28, 24, 30 to 26, and nobody's looking at a defensive struggle. Although both defenses are exceptional, but it's just that the offenses are exceptional too. This is just two even teams. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get the shootout quite like last year. I think we'll see the punter come out more than once. Then
I hope so.
Yeah.
So the Rams defensively, on paper, right, they have what you need. And this is what makes the game real interesting from a, you know, just from a Patriots perspective, Patriots fan perspective. The Eagles won last year, but I mean, it was really the Eagles offense that won that game. They made one play on defense.
And, yeah, Brandon Graham, that was it. Yep.
Yeah. But it was the same kind of play. So the historically
up the middle pressure up the middle.
Yeah,
I know,
historically, how you beat the Patriots is, and it's not just up the middle, but pressure with your front four without having to blitz.
Is the Giants,
and that's how the Giants did it, and that's how some Broncos teams and some Ravens teams have given the Patriots a lot of problems. And Sue looks like he took the regular season off, but he has been a beast the last 2 weeks. I have doubts that he can really bring it in this game, but maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part. But he's always been a very inconsistent sort of guy throughout his career, and he's coming in high. I think it would be the very Ndamukong Suh thing to do, to have a big letdown game here and take an ugly 15-yard penalty or something.
Also, Fowler's and Brockers. Fowler and Brockers are underrated. They've been getting a lot of pressure and making a lot of big plays.
Fowler's a real talented kid, and if you're an outside rusher, what better situation? It's like, you know, it's like being protected by Barry Bonds back in the day, right? I mean, the guy's never going to have more than one blocker in front of him, and
plus the familiarity, as I already mentioned, you know, him being with the Jaguars, a team that came close to beating him last year in the championship, and a team that beat him in the regular seasons.
Yep. So you think that they should be able to get that pressure with the front four if they can execute the second part of the game plan, which is jam the receivers at the line of scrimmage so that your guys have time to get there, right? So that it's not a, you know, so Brady doesn't give you the death by a thousand cuts. That's the piece of it I worry that they don't, that they may not be able to execute.
But as well as they've been playing, the Patriots offensive line is on a phenomenal run here.
Right. I mean, Donald is just, I mean, he's the best defensive player in the NFL. So if your guys are going to cover and make Brady take 3-4 seconds back there, Donald's going to get there sometimes. It's not, I doubt he'll have a clean jersey for the whole game. But to your point, the Pats offensive line had just an incredible game last week, and the Chiefs have a very good pass rush, but not quite. It's a different kind of pass rush. But I think the key to the Super Bowl for the Rams on defense is they have to, the Patriots receivers are not great, you know, I guess from a talent perspective, but they all serve their purpose very well. They have to be able to guard these guys. They have to be able to jam these guys, not let them get off the line, and give their pass rush a chance to get there. If they can do that, they have a chance to win the game. I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to do that. I think it could very well be another, you know, just the Patriots offense is playing so well where, you know, it's just bing, 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 touchdown, bing, 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 touchdown. They've been very tough to stop lately, so we shall see. What do you think?
Please give these guys some love if they're triumphant and they hold the Rams without a sack. Just please give Marcus Cannon and some of these guys some love. Shaq Mason. I mean, these guys. Yeah, even your average low-life Patriot fan that probably doesn't even know him. They just know Brady, Gronk, and you know, all the stars. But these guys are just doing a great job under the radar.
Yep, and then special teams, pretty even. Both kickers are very, very, very good. I don't see either one of those guys. I mean, Guskowski does miss kicks occasionally in big spots, but overall, not a weakness for either team. Greg the Leg, great kicker. Guskowski, great kicker.
Yeah, I think it might be Guskowski's time where he might be put in a Vinatieri position where he hasn't had to be called upon to win a game like Vinatieri, and maybe this is his time.
He's ready. He's had a lot of seasoning.
Yeah, you only hear about him when he misses, like, you know, one bad kick in week 11, and all you Pats fans shit on him. But
he's got it right up in the locker, John. Nobody believes in Steven Guskowski. Yeah. Nobody believes in him. Big underdog.
Also, your boy, special teams ace Matthew Slater, son of Jackie Slater, who was a longtime Ram,
longtime
Los Angeles Ram. Yeah.
Matthew Slater is a great special teams player. Solid guy overall. But all right, so moment of truth. Moment of truth, John. Want to give me your winner, give me your final score, give me your Super Bowl MVP, and then give me a dark horse for the Super Bowl MVP.
It's not going to be good. Nothing earth shattering. I got Patriots 30, Rams 26, and Brady's your MVP. And a dark horse will be Chris Hogan, who seems to come through in these games.
All right. Yeah, I think we're seeing it similarly. I like it. Hey, Patriots 28-24, with the Rams being down 28-17 and scoring a touchdown late. So I think I feel like I'm jinxing it, but I hate to say this, but I'm usually more scared than anybody going into a game, and for some reason this Rams team feels like they're a little made to order for the dynasty. For they're not just quite there yet. Like, they're going to learn from this game and be ready.
But what happened last year? Peterson wasn't exactly very experienced last year and Foles. So you Patriot fans are banking on that. But I don't look what it.
Agree.
What
I mean, but Foles is a veteran, and you know, it's a veteran team. This is a young team. I've seen from Goff. I really like Goff, and I think he's already real good, and I think he's going to be even better. But it's a little
I got a question
scary.
For you. I got a question for you. Just about every prediction, prognostication predicts like a close game, nothing more than a touchdown. Well, what scenario do you think? Which way, one team or another, where you see where it'll be like a blowout or a two score. A final, the scenario you probably laid out already, where Goff gets a little shaky and gives a couple turnovers.
Yep, yeah. Like, the Rams have had a few games this year where, you know, like the Chicago game and then the Philly game that they came back at the end, where they just played awful. Like, they just, you know, Goff was all out of sorts. They played awful, and it seemed like they were, you know, they were kind of in that treadmill mode of not being able to get ahead. So
that was a few game malaise. Yeah. Unfortunately, all you Pats haters, I don't see any scenario where the only way the Rams win is by a field goal or one score. I don't see any scenario where the Patriots to throw a bomb and or even where they fall behind like in that Atlanta game.
So I don't necessarily agree with that. The Rams, the scariest thing about them is they're a little inconsistent, but when they're on. They have looked. I mean, their offense has been extraordinarily good at times this year. Not so much lately, which is what makes you think, hey, are they going to be able to go back like it's week 7, week 8? But that Rams team, like the team that beat Kansas City, I mean, they would be capable of, 21 quick points in the first half and kind of doing to the Patriots what the Falcons did. With a better defense.
Yeah, but I don't see them stopping the Patriots multiple times to make it like a blowout or to win by more than one score. I see them maybe getting one stop or two, and also I don't see them getting maybe one turnover at most. off Brady and the boys.
It is doubtful that it goes that way. I think that's their best chance to win, though. I think a close game because of the experience factor, I think, really, really favors the Pats.
Yeah. So basically, we're both saying if there is a blowout, it's going to go to the bad guys' way.
The good guys.
Yeah. Says you.
And then my dark horse MVP, maybe he catches a couple of touchdown passes. People think it's his last game. Rob Gronkowski.
And then he goes right to WrestleMania.
Beautiful, beautiful. If the Rams win, and I don't think they're going to, but if the Rams win, my prediction is that Todd Gurley is the MVP and not Jared Goff. Because I think for them to win, he needs to have one of those. I mean, and he's had 10 of them this year. He needs to have one of those 180-yard, three-touchdown games where he's, 110 rushing, 70 receiving, where he's the offense, because that's the biggest weak point for the Patriots. And it would give some of the MVP voters who only like to vote for quarterbacks for the regular season MVP a chance to give Gurley a little wink with the Super Bowl MVP. So not that we condone props and things like that on here, but you might want to take a look at that one.
Head to Twin River.
Twin River. You can wait for 4 hours in line like people I know.
It's going to be a madhouse.
Yeah, John. So I suppose after the game, what are you doing for the game, by the way? You coming to my house? I'm having people.
It's good. Yeah,
I invited JT. Gave me a resounding no.
Oof, poor guy.
We're going to have Senior here. Me and Senior are going to the Celts Thunder game at 2. So we're going to the Celts Thunder game at 2 and then coming home. We're going to have Senior and his two brothers, Uncle Bob and Uncle Norm, who, if ever there should have been a podcast back in the 1970s, these three guys should have had a podcast. We call them, for any fans of the Muppets, they're Waldorf and Stadler, if you guys know Waldorf and Stadler. So we're going to have them here. And then going to have some, my stepmom and a few friends, and Little Ryder's going to be here.
Yeah, I am the good luck charm. Last year I was with one of my longtime work buddies, the diehard, one of the biggest Eagle fans of all time, and he invited me over, and good luck for him.
You're not hanging out with any big Rams fans, are you?
I don't really know. I just know of one.
Well, you stay away from him.
Yeah. So. But it looks like I'll just be – me and Tony will be watching a solo. I'll be hearing what great predictions that Tony Romo is going to be making.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch for sure during the game. And Nation
– Oh, yeah. The chats are going to be live with all the Patriot haters and you four or five Patriot fans and everybody else rooting against you guys.
I was going to say, Nation, be in touch. Sometimes I have to leave those chats mid-game because I get a little frustrated sometimes.
No. If you're a true fan, you go dark. You don't look at – you put your phone down, and that's that. You just watch the game.
But if you want to communicate with me directly, I will. I'm not a put the phone down completely kind of guy. I will message you back. But can't wait. We're gonna do a reaction show next week, and then we go through the brand switch to this week in sports. We're gonna concentrate on the NBA and
I can't wait to start talking to them. I can't wait to start talking about my Knicks, the dynasty of the 2020s, the New York Knicks. I can't wait to start talking NBA.
Hey, they salary dumped and had to give up Kristaps Porzingis to do it. But so it's a real ballsy move, because if they do get Kevin Durant and somebody else, I guess it's worth it, right? But if they don't, I mean, you poor Knicks fans who are already on the edge, I mean, that could be the straw, right? If you end out with Boogie Cousins and Kemba Walker.
Yeah, speaking of that, not an impressive the Sixers beat the Warriors. And last night, it wasn't a fine Boogie night for Cousins. He had some stupid fouls, technicals, turnovers in the fourth quarter. And not a good he's been used to playing in Sacramento all these years. I don't think he's playoff ready. So it was a rough one last night.
Yeah, I mean, watching those guys – I really like Boogie. I love him as a player. But, I don't know if I've ever, seeing him and Draymond, yelling at an official at the same time.
Technicals with 2 minutes left.
Aggravating, right? I mean, just...
Yeah.
Like those guys, yeah. I mean, that's a, they're both a technical waiting to happen. And yeah, then they're fighting, the key, they're fighting the key with to each other. The war
is you hope one of the big three gets a friggin' injury, and then you hope the other two start acting like knuckleheads. That's all.
Yeah, or just one of the, you know, you can't have one of those guys go nuts like Thompson yeah. does sometimes, you know? You can have one of them have a big game, the other two, I don't know. I think we're all just fooling ourselves. Nobody's going to beat that team if they're healthy.
Yeah, that's a sad state for the NBA.
But, it's awful. Yeah. I mean, because Boogie, I mean, he didn't have a great game, but he does look like himself, which is like one of the 12 best guys in the league. It's crazy. But anyway, this is like a little sneak preview for this week
yeah,
in sports.
That's it. We teased
we're not one trick ponies here. I used to host the Sports Lounge, for those of us who don't remember. You should go and look it up in the archives. 3-4 hours of fun every week. Marathon. We talk about half an hour about the Tennessee Titans offensive line. But anyway, John, for all my Pats friends out there, go Pats. Hoping to bring home number 6. For all the Pats haters, that's fine. I love you guys anyway. Does not bother me. Rolls right off. You can say whatever you want to me. I'm a happy guy, and I'm just going to be enjoying the game with family and John on the text and taking notes to bring you guys the analysis next week. Got any parting shots?
Nah, you say you're all pleasant. You say that now, but hopefully, if it's not another bitter defeat, and where all the hatreds come out and brings out the anger in Pats fans. So.
I don't get angry. It takes a lot. That stuff doesn't get me angry. It gets senior angry.
That's the only thing they're holding on to is to say that a 5-5 mediocre Super Bowl records. That would be the only thing to throw some shades.
I took it more personally when there was actually an argument, like when people could make a valid argument for like a Manning or Montana or whatever, like when the Brady Manning thing was a thing. But now it's just like, I mean, there's no argument. There's, you know, any argument's a straw man that's doesn't make any sense. It's like arguing against Jordan. That's really it, right? It's like arguing against Jordan. And, you know, maybe 30 years from now, there'll be a LeBron James who can, you know, maybe. And I don't personally think that's an argument, but a lot of people do. But what am I going to get mad about? People don't like the Patriots. It's okay. So anyway, on that, for John, I'm the Cowboy. We're going to enjoy the big game, and we appreciate you listening.
We're still here.
We're still here, baby.